David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I'm very excited because we have our best-selling author, Dan Henderson. And he is an amazing gentleman. He is part of our podcast community. He has his own podcast on our channel. So check out his show. He has amazing episodes that you're going to love. And they're very exciting and very creative. And he has a lot to talk about, especially when it comes to book writing. And I just want to give a shout out to our sponsors who make this show happen. We have Speaker and we have iHeartRadio who sponsor us. And I just like to say thank you. But right now, I'd like to go back to Dan. And Dan has two amazing stories that he wants to share today that is going to capture your attention. And just, you're going to go, you're just going to be totally amazed when you hear it. So Dan, it's great to have you back on the show. I want to hear about these two amazing stories that you want to share with us today. Can you tell us a little about them?
Sure, Stacey. And yeah, thank you for having me back on. It's certainly a privilege. Back in 2021, I wrote a book called Brandy, Ballad of a Pirate Princess. And it's about a young girl who was raised on a pirate ship called the Red Witch. And one day, she lost both of her parents. Her dad was Eric Erasmus, the Plague, and her mother was the Scarlet Mistress. And they were captured by an English admiral and executed. And Brandy had to get away from there, and she fled with her uncle to Jamaica, where they secretly started a tavern and worked together incognito for many years. But in the Caribbean, there's something that was going on during that time. Here we're talking about the 1830s, 1840s, 1850s, called the abolitionist movement. Down there in the Caribbean, everybody's really aware of the Underground Railroad that was going north in the United States, where they pick up runaway slaves and take them to freedom. But there was also a whole different movement that was going on south of the border down in the Caribbean. And it was mainly done by these English sailors, ex-military men who were loyal to King William II, and he was the king during the time that the British Empire freed the slaves in 1833. And so my main character in this category is a man named Captain Arthur Joshua, who was the captain of the Morning Star. And he was, an adamant abolitionist. And he had a first officer named John Edwards. And they came into the tavern one night, and not to give too many spoilers, John and Brandy fell in love, and Brandy started to embrace John's cause in the whole abolitionist movement. And as luck would have it, John was captured by a bunch of pirates, and he was held for some ransom, and they wanted him to sail a ship down around a dangerous time down in South America during the wintertime. They wanted him to go around the bottom half to get him over into the Pacific. Well, Brandy had to go and reclaim her parents' ship, the Red Witch, get her crew on board with her, and she had to go rescue John from these pirates. So that was the first book. They get married and they have some kids. And my second book is about, 10 years later. It's in 1854, and it's right, just 5 years before the Civil War really starts breaking out in the United States. And they are adamant abolitionists. John is now the captain of the Morning Star. Admiral Joshua is back in Jamaica, and he's working for the Queen and all that. And so they're on mission, and they're down at the Louisiana Territory area, the state of Louisiana, and they're picking up some slaves when they find out that Admiral Joshua's brother has died. And that leaves Admiral Joshua in charge of a huge, big shipyard that his family owns. And there's a bunch of English nobles that want to steal that business because it belongs to the Joshua family, who are not nobles. And the only way that they can get back there and claim that business is if Joshua can send an heir. Joshua can't go himself because he has failing health. So the Morning Star needs to take this heir back to England. Well, during the process, the person who trained Brandy in combat is a Shaolin priest named Zhang Yong. And he came to the Caribbean to find a girl to train in martial arts because he needed to do some penance because the first girl that he trained betrayed him and stole the master swords that she was supposed to earn from him by going through 12 trials. And then she went on to Japan and trained with a bunch of ninjas and became a pirate called the Jaded Empress. Well, Brandy trained with Zhang Yong, and she successfully went through all 12 trials, and she earned the Master Swords. And so that's why she's such a fierce warrior. This Jaded Empress hears about her and comes to the Caribbean. And while Brandy's on mission with her husband, she sneaks into Jamaica and kidnaps her children and takes them to South America and says, "If you want your children back, you're going to have to come get them, and you're going to have to face me." So that whole book is about, her and her husband being on mission and picking up runaway slaves and taking them to freedom, and also having this extra mission of having to take the Joshua's heir back to England to claim this big business. And but then now they have to go rescue their children and help Zhenyan regain their honor. And so the whole book climax in a fight between Brandy and this jaded empress, and then a fight with the Morning Star and some English nobles that are not very nice people. And that's a little bit of a synopsis without giving too many spoilers.
So that is amazing. I love how the story just flows and how much is going on, and it's very creative. What inspired you to write this story, and how did you get your idea?
Well, I do a lot with historical fiction. And one of the things that my dad was, like I've told you before, is probably the most prolific reader I've ever been around. He read three, four books a week. He was an English professor. And we got into books like Horatio Hornblower's book, C.S. Lewis, the whole Captain Horatio Hornblower and all that. We got into books like Treasure Island. We got into movies and stuff like Captain Blood with Errol Flynn. And so I just really love that era. And if you're familiar with some of my earlier books, like The Good Fight, The Cartel Crusher, I've wrote a lot about female heroines, and girls riding up and being, not the damsel in distress, but actually the knight in shining armor. And so that's been pretty popular, a lot of people. So that's Brandy all the way, and in both books. So and I've told you before, a lot of times I model my female characters after my two daughters, which I think are just a couple of powerhouses. One's an APC 6 news reporter in Philadelphia, and the other one's in law school. So they're kind of my heroes. And I've been involved with martial arts most of my life. I've been an instructor, stuff like that. And there's a neat story behind Brandy, Dame of the Caribbean. My first martial arts instructor, his name is Bill Shaw, and he is a famous actor. He's also a fight choreographer and a stuntman, Hollywood stuntman. And he talked to me a couple of years ago, and he says, "Dan, why don't you write a book with more martial arts in it?" Because I went up to a high brown belt under his system, and then I went into a couple other systems. But he was just talking to me about that, and so I did. And that's when I wrote Brandy, Dame of the Caribbean, which is this one right here. And I'll open it up and I'll show you some. This book is actually dedicated to him. So he's been in, like, movies with he's been in movies with Billy Zabka from Cobra Kai, Sylvester Stallone in a movie called Get Carter. He also helped choreograph some of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And this is him right here. I don't know if you could see it.
Yes, I can.
Yeah. And he's just a really interesting guy. But he's one of those guys that really helped shape martial arts back in the 70s and the 80s, and brought about him and a lot of other people brought about the whole like MMA movement, mixed martial arts, putting all different kinds of fighting styles together. And so when he asked me to write a book about more about martial arts, I wrote this book. And this book has a ton of martial arts in it. Now there's another guy that he trained. His name is Troy Miller. He's also a Hollywood stunt man and a world champion martial artist. And he read this book, and I asked him for some input on it. And this is one of the things he wrote. He says the fight scenes are incredibly vivid and engaging, making it easy to visualize them in my mind. They would be any stuntman or martial arts dream to perform. Troy Miller, a Hollywood stuntman, world champion martial artist. So I put that right on the cover of the book because I thought that would see through. That's what I call your martial art instructor from a Chinese point of view, and that's what we learned from Bill Shaw. Troy was one of his very top students, and one of the most successful. And so I thought it'd really excite him to see Troy commenting on the book, since especially since I dedicated it to Bill. So that's one of the big things about that book is the martial arts, and then also the abolitionist perspective from the both Brandy books, actually.
That's amazing. You know what I like is that you use a lot of powerhouse women in the books. And a lot of times when you see fictional writers, they're using men as the powerhouse of the story. And you kind of flipped it over. And is it because you kind of look up to your daughters and how they have achieved so much and how they became powerhouses themselves? So that's it. Was that one of the things that inspired you?
And it's just, the whole equality thing. I mean, it's and really, people say, well, how can a woman take on some of the same things that a man can take on? Women are smaller, normal and all that, but martial arts doesn't totally, but does tend to equalize that. Like we can, when I was teaching, I could teach a girl that only weighed like maybe 115, 120 pounds to do a flip a guy that maybe weighed 175 or 185 pounds. I could show them how to do that. Like they could actually do a judo move on them. And there's just different ways of combat that'll work between a woman defending himself herself from a man and stuff like that that we can teach in martial arts. And so, it is possible for a girl to be able to take on, even a male combatant that's bigger and stronger than her if she has the right skill set. So I tried to show that in the book, the different skill sets.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And you actually, when you were mentioning that one of your books it was a bestseller, and that it ranked really high in certain categories.
Yeah, this Brandy Dame of the Caribbean was the number one new release this January in two of its categories, and it went on for about 4 weeks. And Brandy, Ballad of a Pirate Princess, is it's won awards on romance, it's won awards on thriller, it's won award. It was a historical fiction of the year with Online Book Club 2022. So yeah, it's won a lot of awards. It's by far my most popular books. Even Brandy, Dame of the Caribbean now is also proven to be just right up there with it.
Do you plan to write a sequel to go to move on to?
Yeah. I'm going, but it's going to be about Brandy's son, and his name
Oh.
is Arthur. And in this book, he's only 8 years old, but in my next book, he's going to be close to 30. And it's going to be a book called Railroad Man. And even at the end of this book, I tell a little about what Arthur does right at the beginning of the Civil War. He kind of runaway from home and joins the Union Navy to fight for the freedom of the slaves. I'm going to show him about 15 years after that, where he's working for the Union Pacific Railroad, and he's helping with the northern expansion of the railroad up through Wyoming and Montana. And there was the whole drama there is the Crow Indian Reservation between Sheridan, Wyoming, and Billings, Montana, and they had to get permission to build that railroad through there. And the Indians had a lot of power with that, because a lot of these reservations that they were given by the United States government, the railroads needed to go through, and so they negotiated privileges. One of the privileges that they negotiated was, free shipping of their cattle to the slaughterhouses in Chicago, which the cattle associations didn't like because it really cut into their business. So that's part of the drama of that book.
Oh, I love
Coming
that.
out, but that's her son, and so of course there's going to be some fight scenes. You're going to see his martial prowess and all that, but it's also has some drama in it, and he has some PTSD from the Civil War. They didn't call it PTSD back then, but he had some he experienced some bad stuff there, and so that I'm going to use that in the book, and it's also going to be a love story.
Oh, I
He's going to
love
meet
that.
a He's going to meet a the granddaughter of Chief Pretty Eagle, who was the chief of the Crow Nation at the time, and he's going to fall in love with her.
It seems like you do pull a little stuff from your own life and you kind of enter it all, even though you do a lot of historical fiction, do you take some of the experiences from your own life experiences and kind of incorporate it into your books like this one?
Yeah, both my grandfathers were railroad men in Wyoming and Montana, so there's a lot of history there. So I've written some other books about Wyoming. The Legend of Deputy Jim, I wrote a couple of years ago, and that one did very well. Won a silver medal with
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Reader's favorite and stuff. That was about Sheridan, Wyoming. So this whole Edwards family moving into Wyoming, all my books are connected by this one family. The Brandy books I'm putting as the beginning of the family, where Brandy marries John Edwards. But you got all the way up to modern day. My first three books are about a man named Jacob Edwards, who's a commander in the Coast Guard, and he's their descendant. So some people are figuring out that all the books are connected, but yeah, so we're it's a family line going through there. So I had to show how did we get from Brandy down in the Caribbean to Jacob Edwards up in Wyoming, and then all over into Pennsylvania, and that's how I'm doing
I
it.
love it. I love it. Now, I'm going to ask you because I get these questions all the time. People always want to hear from authors and they want to understand, they want to write a book. And, people don't know how to begin or, what are the first steps of writing a book that's going to be success. And they, so from your own perspective, can you help people who really are intrigued with fiction and they want to write a fiction book? Do you have any advice for them?
If they have an idea, which most people do, they just have something that won't let them go. They want to tell this story. There's one thing just wanting to be a writer, and I think lots of people have thought about that, but do you have a story inside of you? Do you have something that you've made up or some scenario that you really like to just get it out there? Maybe some experience that you had or something else. Then my biggest advice is just get in front of your typewriter, computer screen, or whatever, get on that keyboard and just start writing, getting it out. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by what you think your skill set is, what you think your ability is to write. You're never going to get better at writing until you get started. And if you have a story that's worth something, if you have a passion about a story that you want to get out, then all I can say is just do it. Just start writing. Nobody has to see it until you're done with it. I always tell people, I says, my favorite part about writing is my first draft, because I'm not worried about grammar, I'm not worried about spelling, I'm not worried about punctuation. I mean, I do the best I can as I go through it, but my job, my first draft, is me telling the story to myself. That's where I get entertained. All the rest is work. Yeah. My wife still teases me. She says that my very first book, she thought it was one paragraph. Because I wanted to write, I mean, it was 65,000 words and I wanted to write it, and I didn't care. I just wanted to tell the story, you know, and it was edited several times. It was edited first by me, then by other people. But, you know, all that stuff was taken out. So don't be intimidated by how bad you think it looks. Just get it on paper. You know, there's plenty of editing software you can use. There's plenty of people that are really good at editing. And believe me, you know, I would never release anything unless it was edited several times. I fully believe in my editors. And but you know, they're not the ones that came up with the story. I am. So I just have to like remember that, you know, even though they might change it a little bit, so what? It's my story. Just how, yeah, thanks for helping me put it together. And you get better as you go. You know, you start learning stuff. Even your first draft starts looking a lot better after the first time. So yeah, I would just say get started. If you got something that won't let you go, if you got a story you want to tell, sit down and start writing it. Who cares what it looks like? You're the only one who has to see it until you're ready for somebody else to see it. Yeah.
Do you feel like it took you a long time to put the story together? I know some people, wonder how long it will take them, because they see a lot of these commercials on the internet. Oh, you could write a book in 3 days. Oh, you could do this. Okay, you could do that.
Yeah.
You see all those commercials, you've seen all those infos and, all those ads and stuff like that. If you really want to write a good book and you really dedicate yourself, do you feel that it'll take years, or if you're really dedicated, you could have a book out maybe in 1 to 2 years or so?
Oh yeah, I mean, getting the first draft out minimum for me is about 6 months. You know, and that's in another 3 or 4 months editing and stuff like that. One book that you actually read and reviewed, Magi Apprentice, that took me about 3 or 4 years to do. There was a lot of research in that one. Brandy books, they kind of just flow out of me. They've been really easy to write. You know, I did a lot of research during the first book. I read a book called The History of the Caribbean from Columbus to Castro, which just gave a lot of information about the Caribbean. That gave me a lot of background. That's where I learned about the Maroons. That's where I learned about the English sailors and the abolitionist movement and all that. So I read that, and you know, I studied a bunch of other stuff about the Caribbean and just kept building. But first draft for both those books have been about 6 months. You know, this last book I've been working on, Railroad Man, I've actually been working on it for about 9 months now, and I'm still on the first draft, but I've had to do a lot more checking of technical stuff like railroads and firearms and different things going on back then. I mean, it's just, you know, just depends.
I love it. This has been amazing. Are there certain things that you want to emphasize about the books, the two books that you've been talking about?
Well, number one, the abolitionist effort in the Caribbean, I think, is a really juicy detail, because people just don't know about it, especially in the United States. And it's really a re if you ever go on vacation in the Caribbean, you're gonna see that there's a lot of you know, people from African descent that live there, that are basically natives now. And a lot of that was because of the Maroons that were set up by these abolitionists that you know, that set them up so they could go live free. And you know, it's part of that culture. These people, they got away from slavery, and they were helped by, you know, these abolitionists to come and find some place to live. So that's a big deal. Another big deal is, you know, the whole martial arts that I put in there. That's a big part of my background. You know, I have three different black belts in different styles, and I've studied a lot, and so I try to put some of that in there. All my books, but especially Brandy, Dame of the Caribbean. It's the most extensive one. There's a lot of great fight scenes in there. When I was studying martial arts, we had this thing called one steps, and one steps are you somebody would attack you in a certain way, like they'd come at you with a knife and it'd have a certain thrust, or they'd try to hit you, and we would develop a series of moves that would defend against that attack. Well, they were so detailed. And how we'd have our students write out the one step after we teach it to them and memorize it, you know, just what exactly one step at a time. You know, you walk, you grab the arm, you pull it forward, you take your shoulder, you put it up underneath their arm, then you take your hip and you thrust it into their hips, and you pick them up on the ground, and you slam them on the ground, and you hit them in the ribs or something. when I was doing that, I thought, man, this would be a great way to describe a fight scene in a book.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I've done with all my books. And I've gotten a lot of good compliments over it because people say, I can actually visualize this fight from beginning to end. It makes sense, you know? And so, yeah, it's these one steps that you learn in martial arts.
No, that.
So,
No, go ahead.
yeah.
What I loved about your book is that it's so detailed that it's you could so it you could imagine it so well. You know, just because everything is so detailed, you're able to imagine the story in your head. And I think that's one of the greatest things about certain writers is that when you can actually read a book and you could actually imagine the story because it's so well written and it's so detailed that you can create the story in your head.
One of the techniques that I use is from my journalism background. I have a degree in journalism from Casper College in Wyoming. And my instructor, Dr. Dan Jones, what he told us is, you know, in journalism, especially for a newspaper, we write in the third person present tense. So third person is supposed to give you a broad view of everything. You can see things. And he says, just back in the 80s, he says, look, we're competing against TV. We're competing against where they got cameras and they're showing, you know, the story and people are seeing it live or something like that. And he says, so in a newspaper, you got to get them there. You got to get them there. You got to show them the story. So if you write it in a third person present tense, you're actually taking them through what happened step by step, like they're there. And so I think that's in my books, that's what helped people see the picture of what's going on. And you know, basically, you know, the traditional way to write a book is first person simple past tense, which is nice, but most of the time you're only seeing it from one perspective. But if you do it like I was taught in journalism with the third person, you got everybody's perspective. It's like watching it on TV, so you can see what the bad guy's doing, you can see what the good guy's doing, you can, you know, you could describe both their facial expressions and stuff like that. You know, sometimes you can only describe one thought at a time from somebody, but you can switch back and forth. And I think I started that back in 2017 with my first book, and it, you know, there were people that complained about it. You're talking about literary editorial reviewers, and there were people that really liked it. But anymore, as far as I can tell, it's caught on, where, you know, a lot more people are writing third person present tense, and for a shorter book, action book, it really helps. People really like it. So that's one of the techniques I use to make action more real and vivid for people.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, and you know, I never thought about writing it third person present tense, you know, and that makes sense. You know, it really gives a deep perspective of the whole story when you do it in third person present tense. You know, that's a great idea, you know, and that's great advice also for people who are interested in writing a fiction book to focus on writing it in third person present tense. I like that.
Works well with action.
I like that a lot. Now, where can people find your book?
Well, my website is danehendrickson.com, and that's just Dan E. Hendrickson, HENDRICKSON.com. And you can find all my books there. You can find a lot of our podcast that we did on your show here, there also. We can find a lot of editorial reviews, and also there's links to buy them from Amazon or Barnes and Noble, or you can actually buy from me if you want, like an autographed copy and that kind of stuff. So you can go there, or you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes and Noble, you can pretty much go to any online retailer of books and find my books, because I publish through Ingram Sparks, which is a separate entity, and they put them everywhere.
Wow.
So
I love
but
it.
that's danehendrickson.com is my website. And then you can find out a lot about the books. You can see what, you know, what books have won what awards and all that. Brandy, Ballad of a Pirate Princess has won a slew of awards over the years. So that's like I said, that's by far my most popular book. But there's other ones on there. If you know, we've got if you like military conventional military fiction from modern day. I got a few of them like that. Got the Commander, got the Cartel Crusher, got some other things. So try to keep stuff there for everybody.
I love it. I love it. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to really emphasize on some important factors, what are some things you really like to leave the listeners with?
I would like people to really understand that the whole abolitionist effort of pre-Civil War United States was a worldwide effort, not just here in the United States. England freed the slaves in the 1830s. We're the only country in the history of the world, the United States is the only country in the history of the world that ever actually fought a war over the slavery issue, where it wasn't the slaves that rose up, like in Spartacus' time or Trinidad and Tobago. It was the people of the country that said, half of them said, we want to keep the slaves right where they're at. The other half said, no, we don't. And they couldn't agree. So we went to war over it. And it was a pretty passionate time, brother against brother. But it's just a huge deal. And, in my opinion, slavery is a blight on human history. And it took hundreds of years, and it's still going on today, to get rid of it. We call it human trafficking today, but it's nothing more than slavery. They steal people and they bring them, and they put them in, not just for sexual purposes, but for, even just servitude and stuff like that. It's still going on today. And it's something that people need to be aware of. They need to fight against it. And that's why a lot of my books are about that, battling human trafficking, battling slavery, battling this ridiculous notion that people think they have the right to own other people as property. It's horrible, but there are still cultures today that believe that that is still their right, and it needs to be stomped out, really. Honestly, I don't know any other way to say it. It just needs to be stomped out. Nobody has that right. So that's the biggest takeaway from Brandy, I think, and people should take is, it's just the right for everybody to live free, and all of us to be equal. And to recognize those that have given, their lives and their efforts to make that happen. I mean, there's a lot of people that died in that war making the freedom of the slaves available. They gave their lives. And, I like to think that my books honor them. Whoever they are, whatever race they come from, honor them all. Anybody's willing to take up that fight, they're heroes.
I agree 100% with you. Yes, and very well said. Can we find anything like a newsletter or anything that you offer on your website that
Yeah,
people would
there's a
like?
newsletter. There's a blog. I just wrote another blog about Brandy, Dame of the Caribbean, and it happens about every other month when I do that. And I'm still working on the whole podcast thing. I do own a business, and I'm still an active minister. So I got, my plate's pretty full, but I am still working to get more public with my books and stuff like that from a personal point of view. But yeah, the website is very, it's a nice website, and go look at it. I have a really wonderful gentleman who puts it together for me down in Virginia, and he does a wonderful job, and I really enjoy everything he does for me. But so I think it's very self-informative. You get on there, you can find out all about the books, you can see some podcasts, you can see some newsletters, you can see some different things right there.
Oh, I love it. Well, this has been amazing. As always, Dan, I love the stories you write. I love how, you put your whole heart into it, and I love how creative and how detailed your stories are. And today I'm blown away by your new book that has come out, and your future book that you're planning to do. I think yes, bring I think it's amazing. I think everybody should stop by your website. Tell everybody your website again.
It's DanEHendrickson.com, and it's just all lowercase. So it's just my name, DanEHendrickson.com.
And we'll put that in the description box so everybody has it and can go to it. And I just like to thank you so much for sharing about your books today, and also giving me such great advice about people who people who are interested in potentially writing a book. You gave some really great information, and I thank you so
Thanks.
much. And thank you so much for coming today, and I really look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, Stacy. It was a pleasure being here.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.